Hey, have a seat. Have a seat. So glad that you guys are here today. And the reality is we need God more than ever. I don't know how your week went, but there's a lot of chaos all over. And, we lift up Saugus and what happened there, and a total shock, and how that just ripples and affects everything else. And, the schools, Priscilla sent us this thing, we're in lockdown, and, everybody's in lockdown, and other students that are go to school here. Man, that's a very traumatic situation. And we look and we're like, man, how can we handle that? How can we prevent that? How can we deal with that? And it really comes to, we can't, but God can. And when I was younger, it was really easy to have all the answers. I mean, you talk to me when I'm young, I tell you everything about work, I tell you everything about careers, relationships, money. I had it all figured out. It was just really simple. You just do this, this, and this. And then getting married, I knew exactly how marriage was going to work, because we were going to have a marriage different than everybody else's, I mean, we don't fight, we don't have problems, we don't have, because there's just these simple things you do, if you do these things and everything works out just right, and as a Christian, a lot of times we'll just be like, oh, just why don't you just read a little more or pray a little more, and if you just do these four easy steps, then everything will work out fine in your life. As a pastor, all the classes and books that I read, and it's like, oh, okay. So here, if I just know how to do it, then everything's going to work out all right. We say the Bible has the answers to everything. And so somehow we think it's kind of like the math book, right? All the odd numbers, the answers are in the back. So I just go look, and if I see the answers, then it's all going to be easy. But the reality is you have to do the work to get to the answer. And so that's true with us today. When we're dealing with life, life is messy. I mean, in so many different ways, it's just messy. Why? Because it's sinful. When you go all the way to the beginning of the book in the Bible, it talks about how sin has affected everything. And it's this trickle-down effect. And even more than that, it starts shooting sideways. And so if I sin, my sin affects people all over. And when we're dealing with pain and worry and anxiety like we have in this series, I encourage you to go back and to listen to the two messages before this as we're dealing with this, because it really fits exactly where we're at as a country and as a city and as a community. See, it's like this. Sometimes we'll say, well, you know what? We just need to try a little bit harder. If we just put those boots on, pull them up, and try harder. Life is going to be easier. Whatever you're dealing with, you're going to be able to get through it that way. Well, what it's like is, have you ever sat on a toilet and it's a little wobbly? Have you sat on that wobbly toilet before? And you're on it, and it's just kind of wobbling left and right, and you're like, oh, man, okay, if I don't fix this thing, it's going to get stinky in this room, it's going to collapse, stuff's going to be seeping out, it's going to be horrible. So what's the answer? It's really simple. All I have to do is go down and just tighten those nuts, right? I tighten those nuts, and that fixes everything. There's just two of them. And so I don't know if you've done this, but you start to tighten that, and you're like, well, just a little more. I want to make sure, if someone, special person comes, we don't want a wobbly bowl. And so if I just tighten that just a little more and a little more, what happens? Boy, that porcelain just cracks, and your toilet's no good anymore. I mean, now you have a lot bigger mess than what you started out with. Well, that's what happens with anxiety and frustration and these emotions that we talked about last week that are signals of something deeper going on in our life. And see, what happens is as we go tighter on that and we just ratchet down and we say, just try harder, try harder, try harder, just deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. Man, we can get in worse situations than what we started with. I mean, the reality, when we talk about anxiety, when we talk about worry, when we talk about all these emotions that we go through, are they physical Are they emotional or are they spiritual? And the reality is yes. They're all three. They are physical. And for some of you, as you're dealing with things, you're going to have to call up your doctor and say, hey, I'm really struggling with some things in life. You know, my heart's really pounding and I'm having some issues. You're going to have to talk to your doctor about that to see, is this a physical thing that I'm going through? For some of you, there's emotional things that it's like, man, I just don't know the right next step. I don't know what to be doing right now. I don't know how to cope with this. And so for some of you emotionally, you need to find a good counselor. You need to find a good Christian counselor that can help you with the right steps to walk you through those things. And this morning, I'm coming at the spiritual side that we all need, that we all need to understand how God is greater than whatever issue we're dealing with and how God can supersede. So when we deal with these subjects, we have to look at it holistically. We don't just look at it through this narrow mindscape of this is the only answer, but it's all of these pieces. Because we've been looking at the Apostle Paul, and we've been looking at Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, we've got to look at what is the background of it. And the background is the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote over half the New Testament. He is in jail. He is chained. He's got, every 8 hours, they're switching someone that he's chained to. I mean, that's what this guy is going through. If I think of discouragement, if I think about anxiety, if I think about frustration, it's like, wow, it's this guy. What he's dealing with in life, and this is what he wrote. He says, Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. I mean, when you hear that verse, don't you think of like one of those sweatshirts and somebody has this beautiful scripture on it, you know, it's all calligraphy or something, and or a coffee mug and it's got that nice little phrase on it, rejoice, rejoice, you know, and it just seems so simple and it just seems so easy, you know, as we tweet it out or as we give it in a Hallmark card, you know, it's just so nice. And I want you to know that it's so much easier to quote that to someone. It's so much easier to give that to someone than to receive it, than to be able to take it in when you're dealing with those times in life. I mean, what about, I shared with you guys last week, Priscilla's driving, she's on Soledad, she's at a stoplight, and she's doing everything right. And a truck comes in and just plows in behind her, totals her car, totals the truck, and it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to rejoice when, oh, wow, you know, rejoice, you know, and then I find out that the young man's insurance has lapsed, all right? So he hasn't been making payments on that. And then I realized, well, wait a second, the car that we paid cash for is because it was an investment. So when she graduated from high school, we'd be able to give and blah, you know, all these different things. And it's like, okay, that's not going to happen now. And then her body, you know, we start to realize that as she's going to the doctor, her body's actually hurting more. And the doctor said, oh, you know, I think we need to get her to a neurologist and we've got to, you know, check her out. She's young, you know, and like, I'm supposed to rejoice, you know? Yeah. I'm just full of joy. You know, that seems really easy to say, but really hard to do. You know, think about this. Think about, you found out that your spouse lied to you. You know, you found out about the cancer. You know, you found out that your kids are on drugs. You know, you found out that your spouse isn't who you thought they were. You see people that are so close to you, and you don't see them again. Rejoice? You know, how do I find joy during that time? I mean, I don't understand how Paul could even write those things down. I mean, I haven't gone through what Paul's gone through, but I have a hard time understanding the rejoice. Well, let's look at the whole passage, and we've been looking at it every week, and I want you to underline some things. So go ahead, pull your notes out. If you're doing it on the phone or whatever, just I want you to write some of these things down. So it starts out, and it says, always be full of joy. Just underline that. Always be full of joy. It says, in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Go ahead, underline that. Say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, and then I want you to underline this, the Lord is coming soon. What does that mean? That means that the Lord is near, that God is near you in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of where you're at. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then underline this. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline that last part of his peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay, so now you've got an outline of what we're going to look at today. Because we try to figure out, how could Paul have joy? How could Paul rejoice being locked up? He went to Rome to make a difference, right? He was going to Rome. He's already planted all these churches all over. And now he's going to Rome to share the gospel, the hope that he found in Jesus Christ, what's going to transform all these people's lives. And he realized, I'm going to go there and I'm going to teach and I'm going to share and I'm going to set up churches and churches and churches. And the community, the world will never be the same because of this. And that's not what happened. He came to Rome, and every time he went to bed, there was someone tied next to him. His life was completely upside down of everything that he thought. So how do we deal with it? Guys, in your study guide, the very first thing is how to rejoice. Here's what it is. It's all about your perspective. It's all about your perspective. What's perspective? It's simply how we see things, how we perceive things, how I look at things. You know, it's the perspective. You know, I could complain about that bush with all those thorns on it, or I could rejoice about the roses that are there. You know, it really is. It's a perspective of how we see it. You know, a lot of times we're like, you know, the reality is that everywhere in life is walking distance if you have enough time. You know, it's your perspective of how you choose to look at it. You know, how are you going to deal with things in life? You know, like people will say, oh, the glass is half empty, you know, or the glass is half full. I think the glass is just two times too big, you know, but it's just your perspective. It's how you choose to look at what's in front of you in life. C.S. Lewis said it this way in his book, The Magician's Nephew. He says, for what you see and hear depends a good deal on where you are standing. I love that. Then he goes on and he says, it also depends on what sort of person you are. And so it's about perspective. It's about how we choose to look at things. If we were standing outside and we're talking and an accident takes place right in front of us, each of us would have a different perspective of what took place. And so how we see it is so important. The Latin word, it actually, that's where we get a perspective, is it's talking about being able to see through it, to be able to see through the situation. And that's what Paul had. Paul had the perspective of being able to see through it. And so you could have a perspective of fear and a perspective of anxiety, or you could have a perspective of praise. And that's what we see in Paul. So the second thing I want you to write in is that you can have a bad perspective, or you can have a praise perspective. And that's up to you. I mean, people say, hey, I'm just a truth teller, you know, and I'm a realist, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not lying, well, it's your perspective. It's the perspective that you're seeing it through. And we have a choice of how we look at it. So I talked to a friend this week, and she said, hey, Rich, I went to a different church. I was out of town, And she's very meticulous. And so she did all this research on the church. You know, she wanted to make sure that it wasn't some cult and they'd drink Kool-Aid at the end or something. And so she wanted to make sure, I got to make sure this thing's right. And so she's trying to figure it all out. And then she goes to church and she's like, this is going to be a good church. This is going to be a good church. And so she took a picture of the stage. You know, she was like, wow, this is a big place. I'm going to take a picture of the stage. I'm going to send it to my kid on the phone. And she said, hey, I'm going to this church. And he responded, and he basically kind of responded, oh, a bunch of whack jobs at that church. You better watch out. Well, now her perspective completely changed because now she's like, oh, my goodness, I got to hold on to my purse. You know, I got to make sure that nothing happens. You know, I got to be watching everything they say, everything they do. And she did. She was like a hawk. You know, she's writing notes, and she's like, wow, it's all making sense, you know. I don't know, you know, what's going on with this? And then at the end of the service, she's like, wow, it really seemed like a great church. And then she sends a text to her son, and she said, hey, what's up with this thing? You know, I didn't know that it was a bad church, but it really seemed like a good church. And then he responded back only the way a son could do and said, Mom, I was just messing with you. I know nothing about that church. And so she really missed out on what was going on because of her perspective. Because of her perspective, she thought something bad is going to happen. And she missed out on a lot of good things that were taking place. And so it's really important to understand what our perspective is. When we read the scripture here, I've chosen since I became the pastor here, you know, we'll just read the NLT. For most things, we'll read the NLT. That's the New Living Translation. And I just think it's a good place to start. I think it makes a lot of sense. It flows well in understanding God's word. And it's a good place to start. So that's what we normally share. But today I want to share from the BPV. You know, I mean, if you go online, there's a gazillion different versions, right? You know, and so let me read from the BPV of Philippians 1. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, all right, starting in verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me is really lame. God let me down. I'm overwhelmed with worry and anxiety, depression and hopelessness. Because of all the junk I've been through, I'm quitting small group, and I'm never going back to church. All right. Now that's, you guys already picked up on it, right? That's the bad perspective version, all right? That's the bad perspective version, all right? So that is something that Paul could have wrote. That's a perspective of what it is. And I want you to know, we're never minimizing what's going on. We have to be honest about what's going on, but it's the way that we choose to look at it. Instead, let's look at the praise perspective version, also the NLT. It's Philippians 1 verse 12. It says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guards, know that I am chained. I'm in chains because of Christ. See, same situation, different perspective, different way of looking at it. And God has given Paul an opportunity that he would have never had to influence people that he never even thought was possible. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, he had such a heart and he was chained to people. So what happened to those people that he was chained to? I mean, who really was the prisoner there? He was totally free. He could say what he needed to say to people and influence every single day. But it's how we choose to look at it. Is it a perspective of pain? Paul could have just dropped everything right there, dropped the mic and said, I'm totally done. If he had that perspective of pain of saying, my dreams are broken, I'm stuck, I can't sleep, I can't breathe, or I'm going to choose to have this perspective of praise. You know, I'm going to praise God because he will never leave me or forsake me. I'm going to praise God because no weapons formed against me I'm going to praise him because in all things, God is good. And that was his perspective. That is how he chose to look at the situation. And it wasn't Paul's first time in prison. I mean, Paul had been in prison multiple times, so he got really good at this. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they're going to small group. They're going to pray. They're going in, and at that point, they run into a mob. They're beaten up. Everything's horrible. It all falls apart. He's thrown in jail. And that's where we pick up in Acts 16, starting in verse 22. It says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them, stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. Wow. I mean, just look at that. And your eyes, as you're reading it, you're like, wow. When was the last time that happened to me? And if you're like me, it's like, man, that's never happened to me. I've never had that experience. I don't know what that's like. But for many of you, this last week, maybe today, this week ahead, you've had something similar, that you've been stripped. You've been stripped of your confidence. You've been stripped of your peace. You've been stripped of your joy. You've been beaten down. You've been discouraged. You have doubt, and you have worry. See, in that time, standing for Christ and doing the right thing, it's like, why did that happen? Why did that person do that to me? Why did this situation happen the way it did? See, I think of Paul, bloody and bruised, black eye, broken nose, rib, cold, hard prison floor, wrongly accused, violently beaten, and what he chose to do. He said, hey, let's have a worship night. Guys, let's have a praise service, all right? Let's have people come, and we're just going to be shouting it out, all right? We'll shout it out. Wait, it's just Silas and me? Okay, yeah, well, we'll start with just us, and we'll just start shouting it out. The reality is that's what we do in those times. That's what we need to do in those times. When somebody's been abused, when the shooting, I mean, all over our city, people are gathering, what? To worship, to praise, because there's only one way to cope with this. And that's giving it to God the Father. He's the one that can deal with things that absolutely make no sense, that completely fall apart. And so when you are dealing with cancer, and you're dealing with your kids, and you're dealing with those choices, and you're dealing with your spouses, and you're dealing with your parents, and on and on and on, the work situation, the financial situation, dealing with the trauma, the only way to deal with it is to praise him, to call out to him. See, we see the Apostle Paul in verse 25. He says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Guys, people are always watching. They're always paying attention to what's going on around us. See, I think the guards made a huge mistake. They didn't understand. God totally allowed it to happen. Because what should the guards have really done? They should have isolated. And that's what happens so many times when we're dealing with these painful, tragic situations, is we isolate. Let me just get by myself. I just need time by myself. I just need time by myself. I just need time by myself. And what happens? The enemy, it's so easy for him to just pick you off. Just one at a time. Okay, yeah, they're just by themselves. Okay, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait. And so what they did, they said, let's unite. And so that's why there's something amazing that takes place no matter what situation you're going through, no matter what you're doing. The best place you can go to is church. and to find people, not just normal people, but people that understand that there's a supernatural God. Someone that understands that God is bigger than whatever is going on, and that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that as we get together, we believe what you're talking about right now, God is so much bigger, and that God can pour over this situation. That's what we need. We need to pray, and we need to praise, and we have to say, God, I am so thankful. It's about our perspective of how we choose to do it. Because number three is this, write this in, is that perspective of praise is not about what, but the who. It's not about the what, but it's about the who. So many times we think, I'll praise because what I have, because of what I have in my situation, I'll praise. But what we really need to do is to praise who he is. No matter what we have, no matter what's in front of us, if we choose to pray in him. See, we praise him before the provision. Before we get that, that's when we start praising him. That's when we start thanking him for all that we're dealing with in life. You know, I shared with you just a little drama in the Jensen house of the car and a car being totaled and finding out that the guy doesn't have insurance and, you know, finding out about Priscilla and not feeling good physically. And but I got to tell you, I'm not super spiritual. I'm not that great. You know, you watch these people and you're like, oh my gosh, they just do everything so right. And you know, but I realized in the midst of this time, I was like, wait a second, I am really thankful that Priscilla didn't get hurt. I mean, Priscilla could have died in something like that. And it's like, man, thank you, God, thank you. It's not about stuff, it's about people. And God, I'm glad you took the stuff instead of people. And God, you've provided me with so much throughout life. We're gonna get through all of these things. And what I realized is as I'm praising him, the situation doesn't change, but my perspective towards it changes. And then I get this text, and Sunday, a friend texts and says, hey, Pastor, you know, this is what I do. I can help you with this. I help people all the time and with auto accidents and situations. And, you know, and it's like, wait a second. This is someone that actually knows what they're doing? This is someone that actually understands these things? And I'm like, wow, sure. You know, whatever. This is unbelievable. So I had no idea. And now God is giving me these what's that it's like, wow, that's absolutely amazing. And then I'm trying to figure out with cars and how we get to places. It's funny because Priscilla has a first period class, and so that means that she's got to be there like at 6:50 in the morning. And so then it's like, oh wow, so I get to get up a lot earlier, right? You know, and I was like, okay, so how do I choose to look at this? And then I realized, wait a second. What an incredible opportunity to actually get back in my swing of the gym and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, wait a second, God, you're allowing these things to take place. You're saying, Rich, this is a really good thing. And it's amazing how our perspectives change things. I'm talking to a friend of mine, and I shared about the car, and I said, you know what I think we're going to do is we got to scrape up some money, but we'll probably get one of those $1,000 cars. You know, in Alaska, we called them a beater with a heater, you know, and they just got you down the street, you know, and it's like, okay, if we can get a beater with a heater, we're going to do fine. And then my friend had no idea at all, and my friend said, well, hey, I got a car, you know, and I got one just like that, and we're gonna get rid of it, and I think we can do that. And I was like, wow, that is like $1,000 or something. And she was like, yeah. And I said, well, wait a second, check with your husband, and then we'll talk later, you know, and just let me know, and we'll do whatever we can. If we can figure it out, great, and if not, you know, just thanks for thinking of me. So then she calls me back and she says, hey, I talked to my hubby and I probably should have talked to him first. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and I'm like, but well, that's cool. You know, it's great that she thought about me. And she said, well, you know, he said that we can't sell the car for $1,000. And then she said, you know, he just said we have to give it to you. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Okay, see what happens, it's all about our perspective of how we choose. If I wanted to choose to be angry and frustrated, guys, I would have missed out on every single one of those opportunities. The way that God ended up blessing, it's all about a choice. Guys, we have such a great body of people. We have so many incredible people, but our perspective can keep us from seeing what's really going on. Just like my friend going to church, our perspective of how we go in can totally change how things happen in life. And so as Paul wrote, he said, rejoice always, that there's something that happens that changes us in the midst of those things as we rejoice. See, number four is this, is that it's always the time to praise him. It always is the time to praise him. No matter what is going on, good, bad, it's always the right time to praise him. See, we think of that perspective of pain. What happens in that? I'm just looking and I'm like, it's never going to get better. I'm stuck in this mess. And I. When praise changes, it's him. I say I can only do very, very little, but God can do everything. See, guys, look at this. Look at this. Here's what happens. Acts 16, I'm going to read the whole thing, starting in verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Just visualize that. Just visualize that. As they're worshiping, as they're praying, they didn't know the outcome. They just knew it was the right thing to do. God totally shook the floor. What people would have said was absolutely impossible, God made possible in that situation. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Paul and Silas, they were just doing the right thing. They knew that's what God had told them to do. And as they did that, that's when God showed up. What are the things that we're dealing with in life? And are we really ready for God to show up? We've got to quit looking at that and start looking to him. We've got to just give it to him. We've got to lift our hands and say, God, I'm just going to wait for you. God, in this physical situation, God, I'm going to wait for you because you're good. God, you will never leave me or forsake me. God, in the midst of this relationship, God, in the midst of these things that look like they will never get right, God, I'm just going to lift up my hands and I'm just going to praise you. God, in the midst of that accident, in the midst of that situation where someone has done you wrong, you say, no, it's not about me looking at it anymore. It's just about me praising you for who you are. And God, even if you never break the ground, I'm still going to praise you. See, Paul didn't know. It wasn't like this manipulative thing. Let me pray so I can get out of jail. See, he was writing to the people in Philippians, and he didn't know if he was going to get out. He knew, had no idea. But he said, I'm going to choose to praise him. I'm going to choose to worship him no matter what. Guys, see, here's what happens in point five. Write this in, is that the keys to unlock your chains is praise. The keys to unlock what's going on, that you say there is nothing that's going to break through this. The creator and master of the universe says, I can break through it. I can get through where you're at. But you have to give yourself to me. You have to give things to me. It's a perspective of praise. Guys, if you want to stay in the pain, if you want to stay in the brokenness, that can be your perspective. And that's exactly what will happen in your life. But if you want to give it to Him, that's what will change. Guys, I ask, before I pray or anything today, I ask that you would stand with me, and I ask that you would worship. I ask that you would praise Him, not for what, but because of who He is. That you would praise Him right now, that you would not leave anything, that you would give it all to Him and say, God, I completely give it all to You because of who You are. Guys, let's worship together.